I'm Ian. Welcome to Creator Coco. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's creator and then C-O-C-O-A. In this episode, we talk about how the music business works, how signing deals and getting advances works, and why owning your masters is important as a musician. I hope you learned something that helps you become a better creator. This episode was brought to you by Fictionista. Fictionista is an app for writing, where new sentences, storylines, and characters can be magically suggested to you as you write, using the power of artificial intelligence. With Fictionista, it's easier than ever to create new worlds and write that story you've always wanted to write. No more writer's block. You can download Fictionista from the App Store or the Play Store, or go to Fictionista.club. That's Fictionista.club.
And we are rolling. Okay, cool. Today, the topic I wanted to discuss was the music business. Things like how record labels work, what are your masters, what does signing a deal mean, what's an advance, and in general, just trying to understand how the music industry works, how people in the music industry make money, how artists get paid, where the money comes from, and things like that. I think it's very important to talk about a topic like this because a lot of people who are getting into the music industry come at it from the wrong angle, and it's so easy to be misled by what you see on social media or the kind of music you hear. Like you just hear a lot of flexing and a lot of bragging when it comes to music, and you don't really hear about what happens behind the scenes. A lot of the artists that we see flaunting their wealth on social media and also in music videos are actually behind the scenes broke. They are in debt, a lot of them to their labels, and a lot of them are not even in a position in which they own their masters or their own music. And it becomes a situation which is more or less a kind of corporate slavery, similar to just being an employee who's stuck completely at your job. And a lot of artists, in some sense, like if you still don't understand how some of this stuff works, it's easy to be mesmerized by that idea and to fall into these kinds of traps. And I'm calling it a trap because in the past, record labels were important if you wanted to reach a certain scale. But now with the help of the internet, it's possible. It's more possible than ever for independent artists to also succeed. And it's something I'll talk about again in the coming up. So let's begin our journey here with what are record labels? So what is a record label? What does a record label do? What is its purpose in the life cycle of an artist? And I guess we should actually begin this story with the artist themselves. The artist is someone like you or me, someone who is interested in creating music. You feel like you either have a musical talent or it's a hobby that you're interested in. And usually that's how it starts, with a hobby or a passion or an interest or something like that, just as anything else. And the difference between someone who wants to, you know, work with a record label and someone who's just doing it as a hobby is the scale of the ambition of this person. Maybe they want to become the next, you know, big thing. You want to be famous. You want to make a lot of money from the music that you make, and you feel like this is a lifestyle and a way of existing that you're passionate about and is something that you would like for your life going forward. Maybe you decide that you want music to be the main thing that you do in your life based on your own preferences and just how you approach life. And that's kind of how the relationship with music and money and business begins forming, because now you start thinking, if I want skill, I'm probably going to need to do a lot more marketing. I'm going to need a lot more connections. I'm going to need to actually put my face out there in a way that I can connect with other people enough for me to make enough money that I can live the kind of life that I want. Just as with any other hobby, this can apply to anything else. It can be, you know, even like being a chef or something. But for most careers, whenever you decide that you want to scale up the idea that you have, usually you want some kind of outside help, some kind of outside investor. In general, my argument is always that now more than ever, it's possible to do a lot of this stuff by yourself. And a lot of people still haven't realized how like easy some of this stuff is. And what a blessing we have with something like Google. You can just type in any kind of information that you might need, and it just pops up. And a lot of people still have not figured out how to properly use a tool like Google to cut themselves off from the idea that you need so much help. But in this case, let's say you're that ambitious. Usually, traditionally, pretty much the only way for you to make it was to go through some gatekeepers. There are people whose businesses are specifically designed to be businesses that help you scale up your music. And these are the record labels. They figure out how to push your music out, and they can manage several artists, and they have the kind of infrastructure for that kind of a situation where they can manage different artists, and it's possible for them to take an artist who is not very well known, not very wealthy, and try and turn that talent into something that can generate revenue for everyone who's involved. Usually it's the artist who gets paid last, and I'll talk a bit more about that. But yeah, so you want to work with a record label because you want to scale up your career. You're looking for jet fuel. You're looking for a way to succeed in an easy way using infrastructure that already exists. And that's possible. The thing I want us to keep in mind is the idea or the difference between that dream of you signing with a record label and getting, you know, becoming successful and all of that stuff versus what actually happens in reality. So the two of them are different. So as much as that's the goal for a record label is to boost your career, there's also the what actually happens when people sign for a label and some of the experiences that artists are having on some of these major labels. So the journey would begin with someone called an A&R. So A&R is one of the most misunderstood roles in the music industry. What does an A&R do? The responsibility of an A&R, which is short for Artists and Repertoire, is to be involved from start to finish, beginning with talent discovery and signing, through the creation of the music, to the marketing and promotion. Specific tasks can include bringing talent to a record label, arranging recording sessions, and serving as a conduit between artists, producers, and other creatives. So this A&R are usually like the fingers of the record labels or for the record label industrial complex. That's too much. So they're out there feeling and they're looking for artists. They're trying to bring up talent into the fore. Like they would like to find people who are talented and people who they believe can make it in the long run, so that if the label can invest money in this artist, it's possible for them to succeed. And the truth is that as much as every artist wants to think that they're the best, there, first of all, is a lot of good artists. There's a lot of good artists. And second, a lot of the metrics that these labels use to determine whether or not you're a decent artist is not necessarily by listening to your music. They look at your analytics. So if your numbers are low, then, you know, it's much more difficult for you to make it. If your numbers are high, then it's basically a numbers game. And the numbers game does not necessarily depend on the quality of your music. You might be making amazing music and no one is listening to it, and that might be one of the factors that prevents a record label from actually, signing you or being interested in you and your career. So the A&R is going to come reach out to you. This is not a process I've gone through. A lot of this stuff is just stuff I found online. So maybe I'm completely wrong with some of this stuff some of the research that I was doing here. But the idea is that A&Rs usually come and find you, and they're kind of your initial managers. There's a difference between an A&R and a manager. A manager does much more for the artists, but an A&R is kind of someone who is also there for you and is helping you succeed. So it's not just scouting talent. The A&R is the person who serves as the liaison between the artist and the consumer. The job is to be able to see an artist who's not yet at their full potential, but has star power. So A&Rs are visionaries musically. A lot of A&Rs sign acts before they blow up because they see that artist has star power, or maybe their music relates to a certain audience. So an A&R should be able to help an artist put forth their best music. They should be helping them pick the right beats, structure, and also build those connections. So it's kind of this process of developing an artist and bringing them into the fore or the public consciousness using these machines that have already been set up by the record labels, so that for them, they already have a process set up for trying to blow up an artist. To them, it's still a gamble, I think, for every artist. Like, it's not... Sometimes the people you think are going to succeed don't end up doing as well as you wanted. Sometimes someone just comes out of nowhere and completely takes over. So there's also a gambling aspect to this, which is why record labels can be very stingy. Yeah, so you can benefit from an A&R person who is handling your recording process and assisting you with also marketing your release. And after that whole stage with the A&R, some of these things can also happen simultaneously as well. There's now the record contract. This is now the legal foundation of your relationship with the record label. They have accepted you. They have said, we like your TikToks. We can see that you're blowing up. You're probably going to help us succeed. The idea of this TikTok, record label relationship is something I spoke about in a previous podcast called something to do with the TikTok Spotify market pipeline of viral music. So they provide you with a record contract, and they offer you a record deal, which is an exclusive agreement between a label and an artist. Now, the exact terms of a record contract can vary, but usually it requires that labels fund the creation, distribution, and marketing of releases. So labels start by offering artists an advance, which is a loan. A lot of times you see people or rappers, especially in the US, talking a lot about their advances. Or you can get a specific amount of money. Maybe they've signed you for $1 million and they give you $1 million, or they've signed you for $100,000 and they give you $100,000. Sometimes a lot of artists get signed for much less, much, much less, and they end up selling their entire music catalog for very cheap, because when you don't have money and a record label approaches you, you're much more likely to just go straight for the advance and go straight for the money and completely ignore everything else. You're like, right now, no one really cares about my music. So and the record label is offering me an advance. I'm going to take it. and somehow you end up giving away a lot of your music. So labels will offer you an advance. An advance is a loan. And depending also on the clout that you have, how many people are listening to you, and in general, how much leverage do you have in this negotiation? They can offer you different amounts, and they can also offer you different kind of deals. So if you're more desperate and you have less leverage, they can take your masters for 10 years. If you are, let's say you have your own thing going on, you already have your own fan base, now you have much more power in that negotiation. And in some cases, they only take a fraction of ownership of anything. In some cases, they don't even take any ownership. They just want like a publishing deal or something like that. And I'll talk about some different kinds of a deal, different kinds of deals. So yeah, so the exact terms can vary depending on how much leverage you have versus what how much leverage they have. And a lot of artists don't have a lot of leverage, so that's why they're getting pretty much fucked by record labels. So the advance is a loan, to make that very clear. So no one should be flexing that they got an advance, because you're now in debt to that label, which is not the best situation to begin your new career with. Like, imagine if you were starting a new job and the first thing they do is give you a huge loan that you're not even guaranteed to be able to pay in the system that's set up for you to be able to pay it through. So the artists promise to pay back with their earnings. Any money that you make off of the music that you create going forward, depending on the terms of the contract, the money is going to go out to into the label first. So the label gets paid first because they already paid you the advance. Now it's time for them to make money. And yeah, so they're obligated to pay out royalties to the artists whenever the music is published, whenever people listen to it. And you should always have an entertainment lawyer to look it over and explain to you what the terms mean. One situation I've had is that some record labels, as you're trying to sign your contract, also can sometimes hook you up with a quote-unquote lawyer. And this lawyer, in most cases, is most likely a lawyer who is paid by the record label, and in which case they don't have your best interest at heart. So if you're going to be looking for a lawyer or an entertainment lawyer to help you understand some of these contracts, it's important to look for someone who is on your own team, who you're the only one who is paying, and do not necessarily use the lawyer that belongs to the record label. Sometimes they get you like that. Now, after you've signed your contract, the next step in the process is now to begin your recording. In some cases, recording can be expensive. Things like touring are expensive, making merch is expensive, advertising is expensive. And the bottom line is that music careers can cost money. So all the things that they have to do to create a good show for the customers, it's expensive. And most labels probably, you know, they have much more money than the artist. So they can hire the best talent or find the people who are most suited to helping you make your album. It should also speak to the label's clout. So labels have a lot of connections and they have the infrastructure already set up, and they are well connected and have access to people that you also might not. So labels provide some sense of a value in that case. Some counter arguments would be that when it comes to recording nowadays, it's very easy with a cheap microphone and, you know, GarageBand or something. Even there's like open source software that you can use to record yourself to record good music. And the ability of an artist to record their own music is now much higher without necessarily needing to pay for expensive studio sessions. The other thing is working with the best talent. I agree, it's important to be able to find connections and to be able to network, but one argument you can make, and usually it's much more of a long shot if you're not connected to a label, but it is possible for you to also use social networks and connect with people on social media using your own hustle, finding the right people for you to work with. So for those two, I think that it's possible for you to also do it by yourself. But let's go back to the record labels and their marketing machine. So because these labels are well connected, they can help you reach a worldwide audience quickly. And that's usually what you want. This tends to go hand in hand with funding, as this is what allows them to help you get publicity. Yeah, things like radio airplay, media attention, advertising, playlist placements. And playlist placements are becoming some of the most important parts of this music pipeline, because a lot of people just listen to playlists. They don't choose their own music, weirdly enough. So playlists are very powerful. Yeah, so they can help you because they are already connected to a lot of artists and they have a lot of, clout. They can also help you connect to producers They can help you find awesome beats. They can help you do your recording sessions. They usually pay for that. And technically, you pay for that as well from your advance. And so it's a very shrewd business. As soon as they give you that money, you're going to pay for you're going to pay that advance back through your nose. Now let's say that the A&R has found you. You have signed a record contract. The label has given you a bit of funding to create your album. It's connected you with the right producers. You have the right, you know, samples and things that you're working with now. You probably even have like a small orchestra because you can probably afford it, but you can't afford it because as much as the label is quote unquote paying for it right now, that money is still going to be taken out of your royalties or the money that you make out of your own music. So it's still money that you're going to pay either way. So if you use your advance or if you use the label's resources, they usually charge you. And it's not that the label doesn't do anything for you apart from giving you the initial, it's kind of a loan. That's the only thing it does. But then it makes its money back either way. So the label has done all that for you. And now you have your piece of music and you're ready to release it out into the world. This is your debut album. It's time now for the world to be introduced to your amazing music. You will now have to go through a process of marketing and spreading out this information. You want to reach a worldwide audience. You want to be rich and famous. You want everyone to be screaming your name. Now, in the past, music marketing used to be different. The leverage usually was with radio stations and some TV channels, things like MTV. Even now I think radio is pretty popular and people used to listen to music primarily through the radio, but nowadays we have streaming services. And something that you might not know, or something that I don't think is common knowledge, these labels, the biggest labels own shares. They all own shares of the streaming services. So the streaming services, like things like Spotify and the record labels, are usually tied together at the hip. It's a weird kind of a relationship in which the record labels have a lot of power over the streaming services. A lot of the music that is popular on streaming services is popular because the labels are able to pull strings behind the scenes for their artists in order for those artists to have more numbers. More numbers doesn't necessarily mean that you're a more popular artist or that your music is better. It can just mean that you have the machine working for you, and that should be more than enough. So the record labels and the streaming services are tied together at the hip. The labels use the idea of these algorithmic playlists or even just popular playlists in general to push music that they want you to listen to. At the same time, you do definitely have control over the kind of music that you listen to. It's just that if you're listening to a lot of playlists and you're trying to discover new music, you'll find that the music that is suggested to you is not always the, you know, maybe it's still good music and there's nothing wrong with that. This is just advertising. But a lot of the music that you find in some of these popular playlists is put there because of a record label and not because it's the best music to be on that playlist. It's a way for you to discover new artists, and it's for them a way for them to push our new artists into those playlists. And so one thing that's very important nowadays is not necessarily to get on radio, it's not necessarily to get on MTV or whatever. Nowadays, you want to get your music on a specific playlist, and those playlists have a lot of leverage. And getting on some of these playlists can really boost your music. It's something I spoke about in the previous music podcast about TikTok, which is that sometimes when you're on a playlist and you become successful, it's likely that the other music that you made that you currently have in your catalog is also going to get a boost from that one song being in a playlist. And so there are many benefits to being on some of these popular playlists. And apart from adding you to playlists and also helping you market, like, you know, paying for, I don't know, Facebook ads or YouTube ads and things like that, they can also help you with some of the more quote-unquote complicated stuff. So because a label is familiar with all the legalities of, you know, necessary partnerships, they can navigate this area and offer specialist support to ensure that like you have everything in order. So labels are competent at tracking, collecting, and distributing royalties for everyone who's involved. That can be artists, producers, and just any copyright holders. So they can deal with all the tangled mess of liabilities and, you know, legal disputes and issues like that that can be related to music. So you have to remember that signed artists, that is you now, who you've released your album, you've got your advance, you have a bit of money now, which is a loan, and they are paying for some of your finances. You're still going to be the last to be paid. So any dime that comes through, every dollar that comes through the album that you make is first going to be eaten up by the album and the machine before you ever get a penny. And for you to get even a single penny, it means that you have to recoup all the money that you made earlier. So royalties don't really mean much unless you're like Bad Bunny. Yeah, but some of this work, a lot of people don't like doing it, this administration stuff. So you feel like it's good to give up that kind of work to someone who's more experienced. But again, some of this stuff you can just Google and figure out for yourself how to manage royalties. Some platforms allow you to do this for yourself, and it's not that much work. It's important for you to be able to deal with a specific amount of complexity. The more that you can handle, the more leverage you're going to have. Now, in terms of music distribution, a service that I always recommend is Amuse. Amuse is an independent record label, and it's also a music distributor. And they have a beautiful product where you just record your music, export the files, upload them to Amuse, and they're going to, for free, publish your music on the streaming services. And they have a beautiful mobile app. They have a beautiful web app. It's a very simple experience, and it's a very powerful way of being able to share music. Because before, you mostly had to use SoundCloud if you wanted to try and share your music. But now it's much easier for you to get on streaming services. And this is another thing that, again, as you can see, is now free for you to do if you just make music that the record labels used to do. In the past, they used to focus a lot on also physical distribution, so they used to provide that value. And so physical distribution isn't as big of a deal as it used to be, but if a label sees an opportunity and they need to get your music out of specific stores, they can hook you up with this value that pretty much no one buys physical music anymore. I know there's probably people who do, but, you know, pretty much no one. Cool. So they just generally want to they have a more and more in-depth, comprehensive distribution strategy than something that you might have come up with, because they have the experience and they can figure out how to exploit your release in more ways for maximum profit. So they deal with that kind of an idea as well, of kind of managing the music distribution. So what is a master? What does it mean to own your own master recording? So let's start with the idea of a master. How you make money from your music is by owning your masters. And a master is a master recording. A master recording is the original recording of a song. That makes it the most authentic, supersonic account of the song. Everything else after that is a copy. And after that, in the digital world, it's a copy of a copy of a copy. So when you say you own your master, you actually own the original recording. And everything based on that is a copy. So that if you own the masters, anyone who makes a copy or is involved in a copy of that master, they have to pay you royalties. So it's important for you to own your masters, because it gives you the legal rights to freely appropriate and maximize your opportunities to make money. It gives you full control of your music. And with this master recording, you can license this recording to third parties. So if a TV show wants to work with you, if someone wants to use your music in an ad, if another artist wants to sample your music, if your master belongs to you, you're going to be able to license out this recording and collect royalties. So a lot of artists, especially in the early days of their career, they don't realize that signing away your masters means selling the rights to your own work, sometimes even for your entire career. So it doesn't always feel like a priority, as you've mentioned. If you're broke and someone offers you money and you haven't had your breakthrough. But even artists like Taylor Swift and Kanye West were beginners, and they didn't think that they would have succeeded. For example, for Taylor Swift, for not honing a master's, she lost power of how her music was used, how it was created, and there's different kinds of rights. So there's master rights, publishing rights, and there's more technicalities and different kinds of royalties, like performing royalties, sync licensing royalties, mechanical royalties. So there's different kinds of types of royalties, but now let me answer your question, which is, now that you own your masters, or you have an idea of how your masters are owned, or how ownership comes from, where does the money come from in music? So in a traditional agreement with a label, income usually can come from several sources. Usually when you're independent, you can also have several income sources as well, if you build up your infrastructure, but usually you just take whatever the streaming service is giving you. The label will recoup their investment before you see any money. So you actually can't think of the money until that advance that you were given, that loan, is already paid. So before you see any money, depending on the advances that they give you, the recording costs, the touring costs, the promotion costs. So any kind of marketing that the record label does for you, you're the one who's also paying for. So they give you an advance, for example, 100,000. But then if the marketing and you've taken cabs, you've paid for hotels, you've done touring, you've done promotions, all that money that they're spending is added on top of your loan. So your debt is getting worse. So yeah, as they promote you, as they do all of that, you're the one who's paying as the artist. And you have to eventually make enough money that they will be able to recoup all the money that they've given you. So after all these expenses are recouped, then you will receive an income based on the percentage of money that you had agreed upon. So sometimes they can take literally 95% of your money. So they say that after this, we take 95% of all the money. After you've paid us the loan, we take 95% of all the money that you make from your music, or we take 40%, or we take 20%. And income, this money that is coming from music, will come from several things. So there's master royalties, there's publishing royalties if your music is used in any in a TV, in anything else. There's physical and digital sales. So if you want to sell CDs and things like that, even on digital sales like on iTunes and places like that. There's sync licensing. There is touring, so you can tour and go like visit shows and do shows. There's merch. There's remixes and sampling. If someone wants to remix your music or use it in their own music, there's sponsorships. Now, if you're working with brands, and then there's features. So if someone else wants to pay you, but the money starts from owning your royalties and the other people wanting to use your music, basically. So that's kind of where the money comes from when it comes to this music thing.